This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here at Plains FM 96.9. My name is Kerry and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is, and what AA can do to help. And then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Hi, I'm Janelle. I'm an alcoholic. AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model, and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with the obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is, one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. Would our guests like to introduce themselves and give us a quick sketch of who you are?
Hi, I'm Janelle. I'm an alcoholic. I'm 50, in my 50s. I've been sober 21 years now.
Wow, that's great.
Had many jobs along the way, and I'm currently a retail manager, and never in my wildest dreams ever imagined I'd be in that position.
So that's something that happened as a result of your sobriety?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's great.
It would never have come about had I have continued on the way that I was going in active alcoholism.
So do you have family?
Yeah, I'm married and I have two teenage children.
Wonderful. So where are you from originally?
I was born in Otrahonga.
Where's that?
In North Ireland.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. I grew up in Christchurch.
So you were born in the North Island and you grew up in Christchurch?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So how was your childhood?
Childhood was great. I was adopted.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have two brothers who are also adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my parents who adopted us were kind and cared for us. And yeah, gave us a very good upbringing.
So you had a nice childhood?
Yeah, I can't complain about that.
So when did you start drinking?
I probably started in my early teens.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Do you remember the first one?
I remember having shandies, and I remember having shandies at home. And I also remember having the odd sherry.
Mm-hmm. It's very Kiwi, isn't it?
It is very Kiwi, yeah. The parents would, you know, if it was a special occasion, there'd be, yeah, a bottle of wine on the table. And I would be allowed to have a glass of wine. Yeah, and...
So how did it progress?
How it progressed for me was... For instance, it wasn't like when I first tasted alcohol, I was, you know, hooked.
Mm-hmm.
What happened when I, in my early teens, around about the age of 15, I guess that's when it started to progress for me. And I would go out to parties unbeknownst to my parents. I found that I had to... hide a lot of what was going on for me in terms of my drinking from them because I was fearful of what they may think of me.
Mm-hmm.
I know there were occasions where I'd go out to a party and I'd drink that much that I was unable to actually walk. So people became very concerned about me during the course of the night.
Sure.
And this is what would happen to me when I'd take a drink. So although when I was younger, I could have the shandy and I was able to stick to that. Mm. Something happened in my early teens that set me off.
Do you know why you drank?
For no real reason. For no real reason. I drank because, you know, it was there was an up and coming party, or there might, you know, there may be things happening that that I was struggling with. So I would drink really for any particular reason. And I remember becoming quite excited about, especially when I was underage, yeah, you know, who was going to buy it and where we were going to get it from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how did you drink? Were you a social drinker, or did you drink alone? Were you a binge drinker?
I mostly drank socially, and I got with people that drank like I did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hang with people that had a couple of drinks.
Remember people who went all the way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was usually the last one left anyway by the end of the night. Everyone had gone home but me. So, yeah.
Did you ever drink alone?
Yeah, I would have definitely have drunk alone. I remember having alcohol in my wardrobe when I was flatting.
This is something.
So no one could get their hands on it. And I would be having a bottle of wine, just for starters, to myself before I was going to head out.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So you preloaded?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep. And then some more afterward.
Yep. So did you binge drink?
It was basically, for me, it was creeping into during the week.
Mm-hmm.
The problem for me would be that I would go out and drink, and then I was of no use to anyone the following day because I'd be plagued by, throwing up. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was very unwell after the night before.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever become a daily drinker?
No.
On the way, though.
No, but had I have kept that up, yeah, quite possibly.
Okay. Did you ever feel it was a problem? Did you ever try to stop?
I guess my story is kind of two parts. So in the first part of my drinking, and when I really had a downfall with it, I can't say that I actually tried to stop, no.
Mm-hmm.
I did try to moderate, and that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I failed at that.
Mm-hmm.
And it only led me back to the stronger stuff.
What made you realise you needed help? What was your rock bottom like?
My rock bottom was I was out one night with a group of people, and we had been drinking, quite heavily in the course of the night. Mm. They all eventually went home to bed, and of course, for me, once I start drinking, I'm unable to stop.
Yeah.
I'd run out of money, but I was finding drink around the bar to keep me topped up. And I had some very dark thoughts coming through my mind that evening, and the thoughts were of, ending my life. So I acted on that, and I ended up in hospital, and I was in my early 20s, and I guess that was when the realisation hit that something was not right with me and, yeah, and the way that I drank, because I didn't drink like normal people.
Yeah. Did you ever lose any jobs? And what happened for your relationships with family and friends and loved ones when you were drinking?
With the jobs, there was, because I worked as a waitress at that particular time, so I'd get quite excited when the tables were all loaded with a bottle of wine, and then when we would have tours come through, and of course interestingly enough, sometimes they wouldn't even touch the alcohol, and I'd be quite excited about the fact that when the alcohol went back to the kitchen, it was free for all. And I remember one time where we had a champagne breakfast, and I was the only one that was told to go, you know, not to stay at work, to go back home, because I must have been slightly too intoxicated, and of course I went straight back to the local pub.
Wow. Did you ever have trouble with the law, any drink driving convictions, anything like that?
No, I didn't, but I certainly did drink while I and drive. Mm-hmm.
So how were your relationships with your family and your children when you were drinking?
For me, I was very fortunate, or my children have been fortunate in that respect, that they've actually never seen me drink.
Oh, wow. Because they were too young.
They were born after I got sober.
Wow, okay.
So I'm very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. However, it is a disease, and you can still behave alcoholically, yeah, and be untreated.
Right.
And I went through that too, whereby I wasn't doing anything that was treating the disease in me. So they, they've seen and had to put up with, you know, mm-hmm, things mm-hmm within me.
But you managed to keep your marriage going?
Yes, still married, and have a very understanding and tolerant and loving husband.
That's good.
Who accepts and knows, you know, mm-hmm, about the condition.
Right. How did you find your way to your first AA meeting, and what was that like?
I did a stint in Hamner Springs, and I went through the program there, where a 6-week program, and that's how AA was introduced to me.
Mm-hmm. And did you feel welcomed?
I did. I was very young at the time. I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. So I didn't quite know how it was all going to work, and would it work for me.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of just showed up. How did you find the other AA members?
Yeah, they were welcoming. I related to, you know, their stories, although a lot of them were a lot older than me. Mm-hmm. It was mainly, you know, I could identify with the way that they drank.
So Janelle, how have you managed to stay sober? What's the process of recovery been like for you?
Well, I was attending meetings there in Australia, and it was probably a good year that I was going along to the meetings. Mm-hmm. And I seemed to be still making pretty hard work of life.
Yeah.
Nothing was really changing. Okay, the alcohol had gone, mm-hmm, but my life, I was still very isolated. And I wasn't mixing, and I was still having a lot of difficulties in my relationship, and
right,
and also just in life generally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was attending a meeting, and on a Sunday I'd go to one regularly, and there was a lady at the meeting, a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she wouldn't be upset with me mentioning that I didn't like her particularly in this meeting, and I felt like she was talking about me when she would share, and it used to annoy me.
Sensitive.
Yeah, well, that's it. And that was probably a good thing for me, because she said something in a meeting once that I questioned her over after the meeting, and she opened up the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she showed me the title page of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody had ever done that.
Mm-hmm.
This lady I was attracted to because she was getting on with her life, she was having fun,
yep,
she had a good job, and she was helping other alcoholics. Anyway, I took her number, and I began to get into the steps,
mm-hmm,
on her recommendation. There was no other way around it, because just going to meetings just wasn't doing anything for me. I had to do more, and I felt that she had a message with depth and weight. And so I would catch a bus and a train, and we would sit and we would go through the steps.
Wow. That's going to any lengths?
Absolutely. And that was one of the questions that she'd asked me, is what lengths was I prepared to go to mm-hmm. to get sober?
Wow.
And for me, I know that this disease can, obviously, and what it wants is for us dead.
Yes.
And I wanted to live. And she had, So that's how
that's
I...
Answers.
Yeah, she had... Yes, yes, she did. A very strong message. So I'm forever grateful for my sponsor there in Australia.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. How would you describe yourself and the life you have today, sober?
Wow, it's completely different. My life is, I guess, the job I am doing currently, I never thought that I would ever be able to... you know, reach that stage in my employment. I'm now open to learning new things within the workplace, and I enjoy the challenges. It's this would never have happened because I would have been unreliable, and obviously due to the sickness, the torture of the alcohol, I would have probably have had to have taken many days off work. So
it is amazing. What would you suggest for any listeners that think they have a drinking problem? What advice do you wish someone had given to you when drinking became a problem?
If they feel that they're having a drinking problem, if they think they are, they can do a test and see if they can stick to it, i.e. choose your favourite drink and your favourite glass, and have the same amount of alcohol each day at a certain time. If they're unconvinced, and see what happens. Some people might go, no, but I can't stick to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just be questioning people about, can they stop once they start?
Yes. And what suggestion do you have when they can't stop?
To come along to AA and to sit with an open mind, mm-hmm. and just listen and see if they can identify to other speakers in AA.
Mm-hmm. So AA is described as a spiritual program. What does spirituality mean to you? How is it different from religion?
Spirituality is something that I can tap into daily. You know, it's about, for me, depending on something that I can't necessarily see, feel or touch. Mm-hmm. Although, as I've gone through the 12 steps in the big book, I have been able to see, feel and touch this power. So it is a belief in something for me that keeps me sober. I can't keep myself sober. I have tried that, and yep. I've been unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm. Janelle, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you, Kerry. It's been an absolute privilege to be here and to do this, and hopefully somebody might get something out of my share today. Thank you.
That's right. We never know what people are going to hear with what we say. So, for our listeners, if you're related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business, but if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with a serenity prayer, as we do in every AA meeting. Everyone's going to join in. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is one. Your feet get cold in the wintertime. The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell.